Welcome to worship on this eve of Lent 4, and I pray that your Lenten journey is going well as we practice and live out the gift of our holy baptism, as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and as we participate in the doing of those good works that God has prepared beforehand to be a way of life for us. Good to have you here tonight. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, as of last week, we already had 209 cans of soup. So thank you for your generosity and for continuing to care for the least of these that are in our midst. Also, daylight saving time begins at 2 a.m. I don't plan on getting up at 2 a.m. and setting my clocks. But remember, we spring ahead and then we fall back. So we're going to lose an hour, theoretically, okay? So keep that in mind with your clocks in case you have something planned big for tomorrow. Implementation team meeting tomorrow night at 5 p.m. here. And then on Monday, worship technician training at 7 p.m. We're hoping to be able to use the cameras and stuff that Oasis has. If they do, then you'll notice that there will be an improvement in the quality of what we have on Facebook and other things that we're doing with recording our worship services as well. So we're grateful to Joel Simpson and also to Oasis Church for allowing us to use their equipment. And then also you'll notice in the bulletin, if you get a copy of that, Easter Monday, in-home Bible reading. This is our sixth year of reading the entire New Testament in celebration of our Lord's resurrection. And so on the insert, in case you're wondering, it mentions the approximate amount of minutes that it takes. Some of the books of the New Testament you can read in 1, 2, 3 minutes. And some of them might take you 15, 20 minutes, and some might take you 2 or 3 hours. So lots of variety. But the Lord put in my heart this year that there are 260 chapters in the New Testament. And there's at least 260 Christians in the state of Minnesota, or in the state of Iowa, or probably in Rochester, right? So anyway, well, we're inviting the whole Iowa Mission District to participate, and good Lord willing, we're hoping that people say, I can do that. I could read a chapter, or I could read for 5 minutes or something, you know? And so that's what we're trying to do. We've got already the people, about 15 people that have signed up. And so those are listed back there. And then if you have particular books before you leave tonight, just let me or Julie know, and we'll write it on our sheet of paper, and we'll keep moving forward through the season of Lent. I think the other announcements are in your bulletin for you to read, and I encourage you to do so. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. We rise as we are able for our opening hymn, Lift High the Cross.
Yeah.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The word is near you.
On your lips and in your heart.
If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord,
and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Faith comes from what is heard.
And what is heard comes through the word of Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy Father, renew us daily in the gift of baptism, and remind us of the promise we have through your Son's cross. Let us always look to the cross as the sure and certain sign of forgiveness of sins, hope and healing in this life, and the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Numbers chapter 21, beginning with verse 4. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 107, and we will read it responsibly. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands.
From the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in.
Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble.
And he delivered them from their distress.
He led them by a straight way
till they reached a city to dwell in.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love,
for his wondrous works to the children of man.
For he satisfies the longing soul,
and the hungry soul he fills with good things.
Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. I remind you that earlier today I posted our children's message, Jesus Lifted Me, and would encourage you with children or grandchildren to view that as well. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 of our hymn of the day, Jesus Lifted Me. In the season of Lent, singing glory, 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 Jesus lifted me. Jesus lifted you. Lifting up. So I begin with a question. In our scripture readings for tonight that you have heard read in your presence, what is it that is being lifted up? God, who is rich in mercy. That's what St. Paul says to the Christians in Ephesus. He wants to lift it up for emphasis to show, to demonstrate that this is the crux of things. God is rich. Well, no surprise there, right? Riches. Would you like to be rich? Spiritually? Materially? And how much would be enough? I mean, wealth, that is. You probably heard this past week that there was a mega NFL contract explosion, if you will. $160 million for 4 years. A big chunk of it is guaranteed, whether the person plays or not. Dak Prescott, you know, in October of 2020, he and the Dallas Cowboys were playing the New York Giants, and he had a season-ending injury that they thought could have possibly become a career-ending injury as well. Well, Jerry Jones just signed with Dak Prescott, you know, 4-year contract, $160 million. It's a record breaker. So needless to say, somebody's rich. How do we define it? How do we want to measure it? And then there's a $66 million signing bonus to boot. Now, the good thing, I suppose, if we want to find goodness in some of this extravagance, in a world where there is definitely haves and have-nots, in a world where people aspire to be wealthy, well, Doc Prescott, you know, he's had a lot of, well, challenges, sufferings in his life. He's not only an outstanding athlete, but he's also a man of deep faith in Jesus, founded a foundation called Faith, Fight, Finish. His mother in 2013 died of colon cancer. She said, "Everyone needs a story. And so I can be part of your story, Doc." And so he invests a lot of time, a lot of money into cancer research. And I, for one, am grateful for that. So how much is enough? And what does it really mean to be wealthy or to be rich? I mean, you see, when we look at what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, he's saying that God is rich. Rich in mercy. Now that's kind of interesting if you think about it, because we usually think about riches as NFL contracts or how much money you make or how much you've got in savings or investments, right? Land, possessions, securities. But Paul kind of just flips it all upside down for us. And he says, you want to talk about real riches? God, who is rich in mercy, out of, now he's starting to define it, now he's starting to measure it for us, out of the great love which he loved us. Even when we were dead through our trespasses and sins, even then, out of this great love, this rich, merciful love, undeserved on our part, unappreciated often on our part, irrepayable on our part. Out of this great love with which he loved us, what does God do, Paul says? He makes us alive. We who are dead through our trespasses, God, who's rich in mercy, makes us alive together with Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith. You see how he throws that in there? By grace you're saved through faith. Yeah, but I must have to do something. Well, yeah. I suppose there's something you can do now that you're already dead in your trespasses. I mean, nonsense, right? Of course there's nothing we can do. God has done it all. And he's made us alive together with Christ, and he's joined us in the lifting up of God's Son so that we can be with him in heaven, Paul says. Not because of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, we're supposed to boast. We're supposed to lift up the name of Jesus. I mean, you want to know what is being lifted up tonight? You already know. It's Jesus, the only name by which we must be saved. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lifted up in praise and in glory, glory, glory. Jesus lifted you and Jesus lifted me. Why? Well, because we're God's masterpiece. We're God's workmanship, Paul says. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be a way of walking for us. Oh, so there is something to do. Well, yeah, but not because it's a contract where you do this and I get that, or I do this and then you get that. Like, you know, if you get to be away for a week of vacation, well then, what's the amount of money that you spent so that I, your spouse, get to do the same thing? As though everything were a contract? That's not what we hear in our scripture readings. No, what we hear about is a relationship. A relationship which God gives everything because he's rich in mercy for those whom he has formed and fashioned in his own image, creating us for good works so that when we walk, we might be lifted up people. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me, singing glory, glory, glory. Jesus lifted me. St. Paul, he wants us to know how rich we are in Christ Jesus. And that's being lifted up. That our salvation is by grace alone. What else is being lifted up? Well, John 3:16, everybody knows that. But we start with a verse before that. We start with John 3, where Jesus and Nicodemus are having a nighttime conversation about the absolute necessity of being born again from above. And Nicodemus is confused because he thinks he has to do something, and Jesus reminds him, you didn't decide to be biologically born. What makes you think that you get to decide to be born again? Birthed by the grace of God. And then Jesus gets to the point where he says, let me share a juxtaposition with you. An analogy, a comparison, if you will. As Moses lifted up that bronze serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man, Messiah Jesus, be lifted up so that all who believe might receive eternal life. It's all about faith, Nicodemus. It's about believing. And believing is the gift and work of God for you, Nicodemus. Aren't you glad? Satan had you bound. But Jesus lifted up also lifts us up. You see what's being lifted up in our scripture readings for tonight? The one who is lifted up on the cross, Jesus. He's the one that lifts us up so that he can draw us to where he is. In our first reading for tonight, from Numbers 21, we are reminded that God set his chosen people free from slavery and captivity in Egypt. The book of Numbers tells us that as God's people complained and murmured and wandered through the wilderness, as God's people were traveling, what happened? Well, there was always provision by the one who had rescued and set them free. But there was consequences also for the disobedience of God's people. And then we see in Numbers 21, kind of after most of the 40 years of wandering has passed and the previous generation is passing away and the new generation is growing up, we hear kind of this final murmuring story in this constant episode of grumbling and complaining. Not that we would be well acquainted with such behavior, but certainly we know that from the book of Numbers and from the Pentateuch in the Old Testament, the Torah, that Israel did their share of complaining. And yet God kept providing for them. Oh, we don't like the food, we don't like the water, we don't like the quail, we especially don't like this stuff, God, that you give us called manna. Well, they brought it on themselves. Fiery serpents, flaming snakes. I don't know about you, but I don't like snakes. I never have. I grew up on a farm. I don't even like garter snakes. You know, you're out there working in the field, picking rocks and stuff, and there's always going to be some snakes around. I don't like them. Nasty. You know, and some of them are poisonous. In fact, garter snakes aren't harmful to us, but they have poison and they can inflict death upon other things. Well, isn't it ironic that when God's people are grumbling and complaining, that what visits them are fiery snakes, serpents? I mean, let's face it. Let's face it. That's what Israel has to do. They have to face their sin. And we're reminded immediately of the garden story, aren't we? We know where that serpent has always been. We know why we don't particularly care for snakes. Because in the opening chapters of Genesis, it's that beguiling creature, that serpent, that leads Adam and Eve into sin. That father of all lies that says, you won't die, you're going to be just like God. Trust me. I've got your best interest at heart. This serpent, this sly creature. Well, we know what happens. Instead of listening to their creator God in whose image they've been formed, they listen to the lies of the serpent, the snake. And it becomes deadly. The day you eat of it, you will die. The relationship will die. It's not a contract. From the very beginning, it's a relationship. And you know what I'm talking about, because there's a difference in a family when the parents and the children have a relationship. There's a difference in a marriage when a husband and a wife have a relationship. There's a difference in a community or a congregation or in a country when people have a relationship rather than some kind of a contract. Because contracts, they just pit us against each other, like enemies or foes. And you can't get much out of that, can you? Except death. But in the beginning, God said, the day is coming. You have my word on it. And we lift up that text from Genesis. Because we know that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that believers can receive the gift of God, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, the lifting up of the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We know that on the cross, when we have to face our sin, just like Israel had to face her sin, and the price that had to be paid for that sin, we can't whitewash it. We can't somehow pretend that it's not serious stuff. When we see the cross, when we see Jesus, when we face our sin, we know that we put him there. And yet God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, makes us alive together with Christ, for by grace we are saved through Christ alone. And given a relationship and abiding a blessing in the midst of the curse of sin and death that literally lifts us up with the promise of eternity and abundant life that begins now. What a gift of God. You see what's being lifted up in our scripture lessons for tonight? One thing after another, so that we might walk in the grace of God. So that in the relationship that God has established with us through the dying and rising of his only begotten Son, who paid the price, who satisfied the wrath, who died and rose for our salvation, so that in him we too might walk in newness of life. I was reading this past week of a political cartoonist. And he was commenting about how in the scriptures you get this juxtaposition. As Moses, so also the Son of Man. You get these comparisons, etc. And so in this particular cartoon that was crafted, designed, it was Christmas time, and there was a well-dressed little girl kind of strutting her stuff, and she was in the mall to see Santa. And so she had this list that draped on the floor for several feet. Because actually, you know, she really believed that when she met Santa, Santa was obligated and she was entitled. That she deserved to get what she was asking for Christmas. And what was she asking for? Well, you know, one thing after another, she went down her list as she sat there with Santa, and she started asking for things like a Barbie doll, an iPhone, an Apple computer. And you see these things kind of being mouthed out in the cartoon. And then down in the corner, there is this juxtaposition. There's this other picture. It's a little black boy, Ethiopian, with an extended belly, who is holding an open empty bowl. He's next in line to see Santa. And he hears the word, Abba. And you can see in the expression of Tom Toll's political cartoon, the little boy mouthing it with desperation and with anticipation. Abba. How do we measure wealth? How do we measure what it really means to be rich, my friends? The largest NFL contract? I mean, did you know that when Jerry Jones gave this contract, he bought the team, the Dallas Cowboys, in 1989 for less than $160 million. And now one player for 4 years is getting a contract plus a signing bonus. This is the world we live in. Isn't anybody going to lift it up? This is the world we live in, where we want to divide rather than unite, where we want to give body counts and accusations about COVID-19. Reminds me of those days during Vietnam when I would hear the news every night, right? I mean, what's the point? Are we going to every day do a body count on the number of abortions that have taken place? Are we going to grieve that? I sure hope so. If we're going to do it with every other thing too, if we forget that God has established us to walk in newness of life for good works that He prepared beforehand, before we were even born, for by grace we're saved through faith. This is not our own doing. This is the free gift of God. You know what it means to lift up, right? I mean, when we lift our hands up and pray, maybe we're lifting weights. Maybe someone says to you, you know, I need to get to a certain location. Could you give me a lift? A ride? Transportation? What is it that gets emphasized? What is it that's important? Most important of all? Well, Jesus, when Satan had me bound, Jesus lifted me. He's our transportation. He is our way into the kingdom of God, into eternity. He's our lift. You see? And that's what happens when things get lifted up. We can see with greater clarity, can't we? We can see what's valuable and what isn't valuable, and what's needful and necessary and what isn't. All because God keeps lifting it up. Because He loves us. He's rich in mercy for sinners who are dead through their trespasses. One of my favorite stories is about a Bedouin community. You know, the desert dwellings. And how two friends got into a heated argument and things escalated and one killed the other. Knowing that there would be retribution, the murderer ran into the desert, eventually came to the tents of the Bedouin tribe, went to the black tent where the chief was located, and said, "They're after me, they're going to kill me. I've done something terrible. I've killed another man." And the chief said, we will let justice run its course. You stay here and you have my word that you are protected. The next morning, there were several people that came looking for the murderer. And the chief said, he's under my protection. No, we're going to take care of justice, they said. He deserves to die. The chief said, no, he can't. Not today. You can't take him because I gave him my word. Yeah, but you don't know who he killed. I gave him my word. He killed your son. And with that, the chief's head bowed deeply. And there was a long period of silence as people waited to see and to hear what this chief would say and do. And then he lifted up his head, and the chief spoke these words. Then he shall become my son. And one day all that I have will be his. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that all who believe may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but instead be saved, inherit eternal life. You see, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son into the world so that the world might be saved through him. This God who is rich in mercy for we who are dead already through our trespasses. He makes us alive. The one who's lifted up on the cross, exalted, enthroned, executed, and crucified. The one who is lifted up on the third day, just like he promised, raised. He lifts us up too, with his mercy and his undeserved love, so that we can walk in newness of life. It was 1981, and on the radio stations in Minnesota, they were broadcasting a story that was taking place in California. They were trying to find someone who had stolen a car, a Volkswagen, a bug. They were trying to find the thief. You know why? Because the owner of the car had a plastic bag with crackers on it, inside of it, on the front seat of the car, laced with poison, rat poison, because he was going to use it to bait rats and get them dead. So they were doing everything possible to find this thief. Not so that they could bring him to justice. Not so that they could get the car back. But why? To save him from himself. Because he might eat those poisonous crackers being hungry. God, rich in mercy. You heard it in our opening hymn. Oh Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, as thou hast promised, draw the world that you love. Draw us all to thee. And so we lift high the cross. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the salvation for us sinners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able, and we'll sing verses 3 and 4. of our hymn of the day. We continue with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Congregation may be seated. In the days ahead, I encourage you to share God's peace, his saving grace, his overflowing mercy with family and friends and in ways that are safe to do so. Offering baskets are not passed during these COVID days. There is a basket in the back that people can place their tithes in. And I also give thanks to God for people that worship with us online, non-members of Emmanuel, that continue to support the holy work of God here as well. Generosity is a gift of God, and we give you thanks. We continue now with our prayers.
Let us humbly beseech God for his mercy upon the church, the world, and one another. Dear Father, we know the words by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Kindle your Holy Spirit in us so these words burn bright and pure therein. Let them shine through all our thoughts, words, and deeds. You are indeed rich in mercy. Your love lifts us up. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that through our faithful witness to your beloved Son, many people may know of your great love for them, believe in you, and receive everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask for your blessing upon your saved people. Center our hearts in your love, shown for us in Christ Jesus, and help us to share that love with others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Teach the leaders of the world the ways of wisdom, integrity, and humility. Keep them from being seduced by power and praise. Fill them with a hunger for justice, a love of mercy, and a desire to work for peace among all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As the Israelites looked upon the bronze serpent and were healed, grant that all who suffer may look upon the cross of Christ and find healing, comfort, forgiveness, hope, and life. Especially we pray for these.
Gracious Father, we name before you this night Mel Harris. We pray for Samuel Nelson. We pray for Keith Hammerbeck. We ask your blessings, Lord, upon Tim Johnson and Daryl Bolton, Merrill Sunday, and also Rich Sunday. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to comfort those who grieve. We pray for Steve Christensen. We pray for Jan Hansen. We pray also, Lord, that you'd continue to be with those who battle gout, inflammation, and so many illnesses of the body. We pray for those who have upcoming appointments as they seek your gift of healing. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling. And we pray also, Lord, for those who continue to battle cancer, for Timothy Keller, for Kelly Stoyles, for Dan Berklin, for Barbara Stephenson. We pray for McKenna Studer, for Karen Peterson. We pray your blessings upon Gail Jepson. We give you thanks, O Lord, for watching over all your chosen ones. And in the midst of the ailments that we face, that you are present with us with healing grace. We pray for Nancy and Rick Stockman. We pray for Doug and Tammy Schomer. We pray, Lord, for those who are battling illnesses of the eye. We pray for your mercy.
Restore them and bestow upon us all the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you, Heavenly Father, for receiving into eternal life those who believed on Christ Jesus Christ in this life. Keep also our minds and hearts firmly fixed on Jesus, so that we may journey safely through the wilderness of this world into the blessed rest and joy of your promised land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, most merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We sing together our communion hymn, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his hallowed crown. Worthy
Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, together with rivers and seas, wells and springs, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and provided them water from the rock. We praise you for Christ, our rock and our water, who joined us in our desert, pouring out his life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your spirit on this holy food, and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin, that we may be lifted up and revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I remind you that following our service this evening, you can follow the direction of Rich Sunday, our usher, and then we'll individually be going out and receiving then, in a safe manner, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was lifted up and who with his body and blood lifts us up from death to life as well. Receive the benediction. I invite you to rise as you are able. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our going forth hymn, "Remember God is Gracious," it's to the tune of the church's one foundation.
Jesus.
our Lenten dismissal. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Thanks be to God.